Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to We Say Things, episode 214. Suns fan here with Cinderin, who's sporting some ESL swag today. This is not sponsored by ESL. Although it could be if they wanted to.
That's true.
Give us your money. Yes, it's worth. That was a free shout out. The rest will cost money. Let's say thank you to our beautiful patrons of the In Bruges tier. Take the first half, please.
Okay, thank you to Yatoro Does It Again, Cinderin. Okay, I hope this is not going to last forever. Partial PCL tear equals more time to Dota. No pain, no gain. The Shazcast. Yatoro Does It Again, Cinderin. Mr. I fucking love the NBA segment so much. But Cinderin recommends are also great. Enjoying my new Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. My balls look so nice. I named one Cinderin and one Suns fan.
Save it for a Manscaped sponsored episode. Thank you very much.
Yatoro Does It Again, Cinderin. Wow. T-Coil, Rupus, Q-Ludes is ready to praise the podcast. Stupid Copilot, D2 Bowie, Lab Dota, and Yatoro Does It Again, Cinderin. Thank you, guys.
Thank you to MagDev. Hats off to Valve for organizing TI12. Next up, marketing question mark. Games for Falling Asleep has seen you in Seattle. Disco Farm D, the Mega Pope, Zan Xavier, Nate Thicko 01 Hamscroats, Yatoro Does It Again, Cinderin, Shark TM, Janie, Dop, Yatoro Does It Again, comma, Cinderin, nothing to see here. Eve Remort, Ben Broomhead is off to TI. I hope. Wow. I hope you're okay, sir.
You're lost.
I hope you're okay. What an aftertaste, Anonymous, and the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon and 400 times farther away from Earth, making them seem the same size in the sky. Mr. Niebling. Okay, I'm trying to understand this one, because the sun is definitely bigger than 400 of our moons. So what does that mean? Something else that I'm thinking, Cinderin?
I'm Googling right now.
The
sun is about 400 times bigger than the moon.
How? Oh, maybe I'm thinking, okay, that's exponential the way it works, right? I'm thinking how many moons would fit in the sun, and that's different than how many times bigger it is, right? Because it just keeps getting, like, if you double the size and then double the size, that's different. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I think it's just 400, it's 400 times the radius.
Okay. So how many moons fit into the sun? ChatGPT that real quick, Cinderin. I'd really appreciate that. I'm going to say a lot. I'm going to say 25,000. No, it's got to be more than that. I have no idea.
According to this, 64.3 million.
Yeah, yep. A lot more. That's right. 25,000, just a bit off. Okay. Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting fact. I love the space ones. Keep it space themed, you know? It always makes us look stupid, specifically me, but that's okay. Anyway, you have some things to start the podcast with, Cinderin. It's your show. Please.
I do, guys. We're back. We're back with some recommends today.
Oh.
I know you guys love it. We have no NBA segment, so this will be a great episode. I'm already very thrilled. I should not have said that. Now you're going to dig some random news up that, fuck, no.
I mean, I could force it every week, but, you know.
Of course you could.
Just sparing
okay,
you.
I'm back with some recommends, guys. One of these games a lot of you have heard about, and one of them maybe almost none of you have heard about. So that's a little bit interesting. The first one I'm going to recommend is called Stardew Valley. I think a lot of you guys have heard about it. Have you heard about Stardew Valley?
Of course.
Have you played Stardew Valley?
No, but I've seen the wife play it quite a bit.
Oh, she's played it. Okay, oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, so this game is obviously massively popular, which is why a lot of you have heard about it, and the reviews on Steam are absolutely ridiculously good. It's a farm simulation game, which is going to sound, I think, a lot more boring than what the game is. I have to admit, I've never played, it didn't appeal to me to play like these, you know, Euro Truck Simulator or all of these like sim games where you're performing a job or whatever. But this is quite different because it's not like you're actually, you know, performing the tasks of being a farmer in the same way that you would in a simulation compared to real life. You start out with a little farm and your goal is to keep building and expanding your farm and to get better relationship with the people in the village that you live in. And you do fishing and you do mining and you do like exploring. It's a really nice, it's a very calm and tranquil game, mostly. Shit can go down in the mines, but you guys can figure that out for yourselves. But it's just, it's really nice, and it's good value for money. I think it's 14 euros on Steam right now. I played it on the Switch. This is a great game for handheld. It's not particularly important what platform you play it on, because of the way the game plays. It's been quite a while since I played it, but I played it for many, many, many hours. So it was a very, very fun game for quite a while. If you're a completionist, it's fun because there's so much stuff to do in the game. Yeah, you're going to have a good time. So check this game out if you're looking for something that's not like... That's a great game for the couch. It's great on... I'm assuming it's great on the Steam Deck, I would think. Yeah, it was great to play on the Switch. So
Relaxing
but
game.
But it's on Steam. So it fits, sure. Yeah. It's nice, and it's great. It's great as a co-op game too. They implemented co-op a while ago, I think. And it's also great as co-op in terms of two people sitting next to each other and just playing together, talking about the game, figuring out what to do next, etc. So very fun. The second game I'm going to recommend. I'm actually curious how many reviews this currently has on Steam. Okay, about less than 1% of the reviews of Stardew Valley. This game is called Chants of Sennar. I don't know if I've told you about this one at TI, Shannon. Maybe I did.
I don't think so.
So it's spelled chants the way you would usually spell chants. So C-H-A-N-T-S, not like chance, but chants. And then of Sennar, S-E-N-N-A-A-R. This game got released in September this year. It's a bit hard to do it justice in an explanation, I would say. It's a single-player mystery game, and the core mechanic of the game is translation, which is very unique. You essentially start out as a character that just gets dropped in the world, and you don't understand anything that's going on, because people are speaking in code, and you don't know a single word. And your goal is to step-by-step uncover the language through clues that you find in the world and through contextualizing how people talk to each other, by finding patterns, and step by step you're going to progress the world. The game is based off of the story of Babel, if you've heard of that.
No.
The Tower of Babel. Where
no.
I believe the key thing, now I don't want to say it wrong, but it's an origin myth where I think if I remember correctly, God punishes people by making them all speak a different language so they can't communicate with each other anymore.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Anyway, that's the inspiration for the game. It's awesome. And it's not that well known just yet, but it has really great reviews. And this is a single player game only, but I would recommend playing it with somebody else, either... you know, if you live with someone, play it together on the couch, or if you have somebody online that would be interested in playing it with you streaming or whatever, it's really good to play together. I played through the game with Susie, and the reason it's fun to play it together is that you can start making like theories, and you can spar with each other and figure out what you're gonna interpret things in different ways, and you're going to come up with different theories, and it's very rewarding to work as a team in that game. This game does not play nearly as long as some of the other games I've recommended. It's sitting at 16 euros right now, and I would still say it's really great value for money because it's so unique. It's a very special game, and I absolutely loved it. I'm also a language nerd, so obviously I'm a bit biased.
Why does it say you don't own this game?
Because I didn't play it on Steam.
Oh.
We played it on PS5.
Oh, okay.
But it is on Steam, so it's the same with Stardew Valley. I don't own that either, right? We played that on Switch, so. But yeah, both games are on Steam, and they're awesome, so check them out.
Cool.
Okay, that's cool. My recs for this week. Aside from that, I have some other PC-related news. I bought a new computer, Shannon.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
You're so happy, aren't you?
Let's hear the specs, bitch.
You wanted me to do this for so long. Okay, let me open up.
How many monitors do you have?
My specs. I still have the same two as before.
Are they both 144 hertz?
They are. But okay. Right now, one of them is running 60 hertz because, and I didn't think about this when I ordered the computer, my new computer doesn't have a DVI-D port. It only has display ports. So one of my monitors is from like the first generation of 144 hertz. So it's DVI-D. So I need to get a cable.
Easy peasy.
Display port to DVI-D. But for now, it's just running on HDMI. But that's okay. My second monitor.
I mean, second
my
monitor.
My primary monitor is 240 hertz, actually, Shannon.
That's wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's buttery smooth. All right, so specs do you care about?
Before you go further, you had a 240 hertz monitor with a shit-ass computer that was like 8 years old. Is that right? Exaggeration.
But 6 years old, I think.
Yeah. How long have you had this 240 hertz monitor?
A year or two. A year, I guess? A year and a half or two?
Why?
Why not?
Were you hitting 240 FPS with a seven-year-old computer?
Shannon, okay, let me drop something on you. Even if you're playing a game at less than 144 FPS, if you're playing a game at 60 FPS, it still looks nicer on 144 hertz than it does on 60 hertz.
You know what's funny about this conversation? We have had this exact...
I feel like we've had this conversation.
...conversation, and the chat, like in the YouTube comments, was very split.
Oh.
So let's... skip by that part, and I'll just forgive you for your sins, okay?
Let's just say big hurts, big good, okay? And then just leave it at that. Okay.
Sure.
I guess the three specs you care about, the RAM and the processor and the graphics card, right?
Who gives a shit about the RAM? Okay, how much RAM? Okay.
I got 32 gigs of RAM.
Okay, good job.
Anything above that seemed unnecessary for gaming and streaming. The processor is a Ryzen 7 7800X 3D.
Okay.
And the graphics card is a 4070.
Okay. GTX.
I was looking at the higher and newer generations, the 4080 and the 4090. They're a lot more expensive, and it didn't seem like good value for what I'm doing. Like, yeah, I could have rigged this to be a complete beast, but there wasn't really any point because...
Well, if you're going to keep your computer for 6 years, then there is a point, Sindarin.
No, so here's the thing is that if that's the logic, then it's... I was talking to JJ about this. I would be better off starting with the 4070, and then if it turns out down the line that I'm going to play some really intense stuff, then there's going to be newer and better value graphics cards coming out for that. So then I can upgrade instead of buying a 4080 or a 4090 that costs literally twice as much as the 4070.
It's without like half the computer cost is the graphics card. So
yes.
Did you do pre-built or you?
It
built
was
your own?
For me too. I did it pre-built. I don't build PCs.
Have you ever built a PC before?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, yeah, I just don't know how to do that shit, and I can't really be bothered. I also don't, like, if it's not something that interests you and that you think is fun, generally the pricing that you get on getting pre-built nowadays compared to the individual parts, honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like,
I mean, I said this last time when I talked about my PC, but when I looked it up, it cost more to build your own, which blew my mind. That's
it ridiculous. Didn't for me, but I think they took like a 10% premium over the parts or whatever for building it or something in that ballpark. So it's like, Yeah. Compared to the time and effort it would take me to research it, the risk of error, having to order all the individual parts and go through all of that instead of just getting it in one bundle and everything. It's just, yeah.
So is it kind of you're using it now?
I'm using it right now. Yeah. I set it up yesterday. It arrived yesterday. I installed everything yesterday.
Good boy. So we didn't do a mic test. Nice.
Huh?
We didn't do a mic test.
We didn't. I mean, I set my mic to the same settings as before.
Well, all right.
I hope. I mean, I hope I sound the same, right?
No, it looks fine. I just didn't know.
I mean,
you know?
The fact that you didn't point anything out made me think I sound the same as usual, right? So,
yeah, you're just lucky. Maybe got lucky this time.
Way off, I guess so.
Well, so, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you. I'm really excited about this new PC. The main appeal for me was that when I was streaming Dota, I was getting about 100 FPS in Dota on my old PC, and on this one I should be getting about double, right? So that's exciting. But I have put my stream on hold for now, because after I came home from Seattle, I haven't told you this, I was having jitters in my right hand, and they're not gone still. Mm. So it's been about a week. So I read up on it a bit. And it's likely that it's carpal tunnel syndrome.
Really?
Yeah, probably early stage of it. It's not like very painful or anything, but essentially I've chosen I'm not going to stream for a bit, because I think Dota is a pretty high intensity game to play in terms of like how much time you commit yourself for. And if I'm streaming, I don't want to just stream one game and then stop, right? But realistically speaking, I want to prevent this from becoming a big problem. So I'm limiting how much I play games that require mouse dexterity. So if I play a Dota, I'll play one or two games at most in a day. Yesterday, I played two games of CS2, which ran buttery smooth on this, of course, which was great. It was very fun.
What do you mean by jittery?
You know, when you have a limb that's asleep,
hmm.
Like if you have a sleeping foot or whatever, it's got these like
pins and needles.
It's like tingling all the time. Yeah, it was that. Sorry, jittery was the wrong word. It was tingling. So like it's like that all the time. And then if I move my hand in specific ways, it can give like a slight ache, like a little. Yeah, it just triggers the nerves a little bit. So likely, what started this is, I mean, I know some people get this from being at the PC a lot, or, you know, like different manual labor that they do. And some players in Dota have had carpal tunnel syndrome as well. I actually don't think it's from playing games that I got it. I think it's because of a combination. First of all, I have this bad habit of sleeping on my hand. Mm. And on the flight home from Seattle in the first leg of the flight, I slept a lot. And I think I slept on my hand a lot in that. And that was after a night with the after party where I was playing pool for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. So that's also like very
handsy.
If you're playing that, you can bend your wrist quite a bit on certain shots that I did. And then on top of that, I'm at a setup different from the one at home for the PC, so that also adds up. Because the tables that we were sitting with, the chairs we're sitting in, you know, the angle is different. And we were playing quite a lot of games in Seattle as well. Or at least I was. You were working on your game mostly, and being sick in your room for a week.
That's right.
So yeah, I think it's just it's probably just the perfect storm, unfortunately, in a negative way this time, that got this. And yeah, I've had a week. So what I did was I went and got myself this. I got myself like a wrist wrap thing to keep the wrist straight. I'm taking some painkillers that are anti-inflammatory, which will hopefully help.
Did you go to the doctor, or this is just you self-diagnosing?
So it's a combination. So this wrist wrap thing was obviously something that you could read about yourself. And then I called the doctor and got the advice to take painkillers. My consultation is on Wednesday. So in 6 days, I'll go and get it checked up on further. But for now, it's mainly just rest it. Don't overstress it. I still sit at the computer a lot, because I don't really find it uncomfortable sitting at the PC and using a mouse. It's not like it's painful, but yeah, just in the interest of not making this get bad, I don't think streaming 5 or 6 hours a day and playing a high mouse dexterity game is a good idea. So I'm playing like more chill stuff, like Baldur's Gate I will probably play without problem, playing poker, playing World of Warcraft, which isn't about like very fast movements.
Thank God you can play World of Warcraft. I don't know if you do without
really
that
lucky
one.
Yeah, that's
you know, that's where I have not heard the term carpal tunnel syndrome in like 15 years, I feel like. I feel like this was a thing early on that a lot of people got because of the way that people were typing on their keyboards, like very scrunched up. Like if you type, let me see how I type. Yeah, you need to type at like an angle and not like straight. Because a lot of people, like when, it, you know, people weren't used to using keyboards or whatever, they use a straight hand and that would fuck people up. And they'd have to get, like back in the 90s, I remember like there was a bunch of surgery type shit. Like it was bad news, but I know that it's gotten a lot better since then. So yeah, keep us updated. Hopefully things go well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I actually talked to my mom about this, which is kind of random, but she had this too in her 50s. So, I mean, I'm a little early. And for her, she was going to get surgery for it. And then she stopped knitting for a while. And then it went away. And then she canceled her surgery and never came back. That was probably what set it off for her, was that she was knitting a lot at the time. And she's been knitting a lot since, but it's just like, it's a temporary thing that can go away by itself if you treat it with respect. So I'm trying to do that. And hopefully, fingers crossed, it won't get to a surgery level, because that would be kind of annoying, obviously. And mostly, from what I can read, you can, in most cases, you can get it treated with like massage or rest. Stretches, a little bit of exercising with it, you know, a controlled environment, it's going to be fine. So we'll see. I'm not really super worried about it right now, to be honest. I was more worried right when it, in the first couple of days when I read everything about it, and I was like, oh shit, how long is this going to take or whatever, but we'll just take it step by step. It's going to be fine. But it sucks. It's obviously annoying to have an injury in your hand when it's like the most important, one of the most important tools in your lifestyle and in your job, right?
Yep. So. Good luck, Sindarin.
I'll let you know.
We wish you well,
you.
Sir.
Should be fine. Hopefully.
All right. I guess we can talk about Dota now. There's not much, honestly, but we do have a bunch of other stuff to talk about, so it should be a nice, juicy episode, as always. Roster shuffles. So again, we're not really going to talk about rumors because there's just so many, and you were talking to me about this before we started recording, that there's a lot of contradictory rumors going around where a player is on like five different teams or whatever. So we'll just let that settle.
Especially SCA is like I don't even know how to explain how many rumors there are.
There's no roster lock anymore, right? Is that how it works? Like,
shouldn't be, right?
So there's no actual deadline. So we might just have this stuff trickle in. Or, I mean, I guess the next event, the big one is Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, that's in a month.
I guess we have until then to figure it out. Yep. But for now, nouns, I genuinely don't remember if we talked about this last week.
I don't think we did.
Nouns drops their roster. So it's not, you know, made clear whether they're looking for a new roster or not. Can't say I'm too surprised because I knew that a lot of teams were going to reshuffle anyway, but I guess I'd be a little bit surprised that they don't stick with Dota considering they got top eight. But
yeah, Moo tweeted that he's looking for team. So it's not just the org.
Yeah.
That dropped the roster. The team itself is making moves. I don't know how many, if most of them are sticking together. Moo was the one I saw.
Talon, I wrote down, Talon drops the roster. According to their tweet, it was mutually exclusive, or it was mutual. So that team is no more. Nine is officially out of Tundra. And we talked about 33 potentially being on Liquid. That was a rumor. Remains to be seen. But Nine just singled out. So does that mean they're going to be keeping the other three? Does that mean, I mean, is Soxa even part of that team anymore?
There's a lot of question marks about Tundra right now, I think.
Stormer officially benched by Entity. That's a weird one. That one was a little, like, typically it's like, okay, we dropped the roster or we're, but benching, that means he's under contract. Otherwise, they just release him. So now he'd need to be bought out to be able to play somewhere. It makes it more difficult for him. So I don't know if this is a good thing for him. But
and does this mean that they benched him because they found a player they want to play with over him? Or did they bench him because they want to find another player on the position in general? Right? Yeah. That could be either or. The general vibe I got from that team, I would think it's the former, that they... got an opportunity that they can't say no to or whatever. Because I always got the vibe of Benetti that they were getting along well. And I mean, obviously TI can do things to teams. I've been there. But I would like to think that that they didn't have a falling out or something. But who knows? I mean, that's just pure speculation on my part. So
yeah, who knows? We wish him well because he's a very nice guy. Shopify, they're keeping Arteezy and Saberlight. So that, I don't think has been officially confirmed by the org, as far as I know. Maybe it has.
I think it has.
Yeah, I think they said...
I think they made a thank you post to the other three players, right?
Yeah, so Abed, Crit, Fly out. No news on Bulba as coach still. So they're going to keep Arteezy, Saberlight and try to build around them. Which, you know, from a big org standpoint, I know people meme about Arteezy. And I'm not, you know... I'm not the person to judge whether somebody is like how good they are necessarily, but from a brand perspective, I think I would be qualified. I can totally understand why an org would want to build around Arteezy. Even if, let's just say, okay, this is not what I'm saying, but let's just say this is how they think. They're not going to win TI. They're not going to win majors. They're going to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important probably to be popular slash have the brand value that Arteezy brings versus winning. You know what I mean? Like there's a
I know what you mean. And I think this is where Dota has been arguably kind of unhealthy compared to other games over the last many years because of the magnitude of TI, right? Is that everything has been about winning TI, which is cool. I mean, TI is a huge tournament and everything, but ultimately only very few players get to get a top three placement in that. The more sustainable way and the more the more self-sufficient way for Dota to be run is if it's built around the teams and the players rather than this one enormous tournament that few people get to reap the rewards of. And that seems to be the direction that Dota is going now, with Valve scaling back on the battle pass for TI and making TI a more like reachable prize pool, if you will, for other tournaments to compete with, at least on some level. And at that point, having brandable players, having being able to sell to sponsors that you have player brands, that you have players that stream. I mean, Arteezy's stream, whenever he streams, it's kind of funny how he can... You look at other streamers in Dota. I know from myself, I'm obviously a bad comparison because I'm not a pro player anymore and I don't have like the same reach. But if I don't stream for X weeks and I come back, I kind of need to rebuild. Like, people have moved on or watching something else or whatever. When Arteezy is streaming, it's like a magnet. You know,
there's
it's
Reddit like, threads. Shit.
There's this thread whenever he goes live. Okay, that's the level we're at here. I kid you not, I think almost every single Reddit thread that is about somebody is streaming, 90% of them are Arteezy, right? The rest just don't get upvoted or don't get posted. So obviously there's a huge draw, and yes, there's going to be diminishing returns on something like that. If he streams regularly, then obviously people aren't going to post every time because then it's not big news, but he gets big viewership all the time when he streams. That's a constant. So for an org, that's really valuable because you can sell to sponsors that, hey, we have Arteezy. When he streams, he's the biggest streamer in Dota, you know? He streams
easily. Well, English. I can't speak for like Russian.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, for a Western audience, he's the biggest streamer. So, yeah, I agree. I think that's really powerful to have for your brand and for your org. I know, like you said, people are very good at judging players or whatever compared to how much they understand the game. I would say even at the level that I understand the game, which is still not like the absolute pinnacle compared to these pro players, but I would say I understand it pretty well. I find it very difficult to come to overwhelming or confident conclusions about how good players are because Dota nowadays is so much more about team dynamic and team movements and team shared understanding and strategy than it is about individual plays. So even if you're an individually amazing player, if the team dynamic and the team strategies don't hold up against the best, anyone can look bad compared to how good they are. And it's clear that a lot of pro players still keep Arteezy in very high regard, right? Maybe not number one as they did 5 years ago, but I still think, you know, people think he's a really good player still. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean that he can't, like, his recent results or whatever and how Shopify ran doesn't mean that he cannot achieve greatness still. I genuinely still believe he could become a major winner or a TI winner. And that a shakeup could be good in the end. This is a pretty major change for him as well. So yep. It's a big uncertainty, but I hope he does well. I think that guy, it would be cool if he won something big at least once. I think he deserves it. That on the other side of that on that lineup, that means Crit, Fly, and Abed will be going elsewhere. I think it's fair to assume, obviously this is speculation, but I think there's a very good chance Abed goes to SEA. I think if he's not playing for Shopify or for this team in particular, I think he won't play NA again this year. And Crit's tweet about being done with Shopify was, obviously he was thanking his teammates and all the friendships and, you know, what they built because they've played together for a very long time. But he also started off that tweet saying something along the lines of essentially that playing in NA was blah, blah, blah. So I'm inferring from that that he's not playing in NA this season either. I think there's a good chance Crit is going to an EU team. It could be OG. He could be making something with Fly. Who knows? But I think that's probably where he's going. And for Fly, I genuinely don't know. He could be staying in A. He could be doing the Crit thing in EU, whatever.
Well, one of the other two, I think, are moving. Abed, I think, will answer that right now because Blacklist teased their new lineup, and it was a very...
It's not confirmed, but it's like...
I mean, I consider this confirmed. So essentially,
yeah, but here's the thing. The reason, I'll just quickly say this, the reason this is not confirmed for me is because it's SCA and everybody's fucking memeing lineups over there, okay? Like, I've seen so many different rosters and player combinations teased. So if orgs are in on it, until they officially announce it, I'm not 100%
on. So Blacklist did tweet their lineup is going to be, and then they posted a picture, and it's kind of like a word play kind of deal where each player represents the picture. So the first picture is of I don't know the difference between a crow and a raven.
It's a raven.
Is this actually a raven? What is the difference?
I think so.
Is it just different locations? Or
the difference is there's no pro player called Crow, so this has to be a raven.
I'm sure there's... Wait, isn't there somebody on Arkosh named Crow? Something Crow? What was it?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Damn. Picture of a raven, so it's raven. The second one is a picture of a bed, so that's Abed.
Yep.
The third one, I didn't realize, it's just a picture of the night sky, and apparently in Tagalog, is it Gabby? I know Gabby is the player, but something about his name means night.
Are you asking me how you say that word in Tagalog? I don't know. Tagalog. See, I can't even say the language.
Tagalag.
Tagalong.
So it means night sky or nighttime or something like that. I think nighttime. Yep. Is Gabby, I guess. Yep. And then the next one, this one apparently is Tim's. It's a T, and it's like an icon from some app that I don't know.
I think it's Microsoft Teams, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and then the way you pronounce Tim's in, if I'm not mistaken, in Tagalog would be Teams.
Oh, so is it?
That's what. I think the I is pronounced differently. That's what I read that. I don't know if it's true.
All right, and then the last one is just a, like, it's some K-pop band album type thing where it literally says BDZ on it. So it's BDZ.
Yeah. That one they couldn't find an image for. That one was a bit hard to set up. This player is also known as Carlo. So, yeah. I mean, I believe it. I'm not going to say I don't believe that this will be the roster. I'm just saying, for me, it's not confirmed by seeing
this
picture.
This would be a very strong lineup, though. I like this lineup.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Like, I've been a huge Raven fan in the past, but he hasn't really... I feel like he hasn't been a TI in a couple years, maybe? I don't know how long it's actually been. So I wonder how he matches up against some of the other position ones.
I think he's still got it, personally. I don't think this guy has fallen off that much. But again, I mean, the game, like I talked about, the way it works, right, is very... There's a lot of dynamics that need to click for you to be a top-tier team. I don't think he individually is lacking... in the regards that he needs to perform in to play for a top team. So, yeah, good luck to them if it's the actual team. I'm sure we'll know in some weeks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Maybe before.
Yes.
If it's confirmed. Who knows?
All right. Next topic is Sumail versus EG. Apparently.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys don't remember, Sumail is suing Evil Geniuses for breach of contract and fraud and deceit. And it's gotten to the point. This is when he was a player, when they had, I think, I'm trying to remember that scenario. He was like benched for a while. He was like streaming for them, but he wasn't on their roster. Like, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, he wanted to play or he wanted to get moved or whatever. He was supposedly promised a bunch of stuff and it never came to fruition. This is also when I think they were changing CEOs. There's a lot of like turnover.
I think this is around the peak six time, yeah.
So there's a lot of potentially shady stuff that happened. So he is suing them and it is actually going to trial with a jury.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, we've talked about this a long time ago. This is how long it takes for this shit to finally come to fruition. Is there a date on here?
I think it went to trial 2 days ago.
Oh, it's already started. Okay.
Yeah, I believe 2 days ago was the day that it was going to, the process was going to start. But a lot of the time, stuff like this doesn't immediately get concluded with the first, you know, the first time it's in court.
So the complaints, I'm just going to list them all. Breach of contract, breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, fraud and deceit, false misrepresentation, fraud and deceit, false promise, breach of...
False misrepresentation.
Yeah, that's what? That's a weird way to put it. And I don't know why they
false
added an oracle.
False representation?
Yeah,
what?
That's backwards. And
what's
then they
false misrepresentation?
For some reason, they put Oracle Ult in there for false promise, but he doesn't.
That's good.
He only plays core, so that doesn't really make sense.
I mean, then that's fraud right there.
Breach of fiduciary. Fuck, how do you say this?
Fiduciary?
It sounds like very douchey. Fiduciary duty. Yeah, that's right. Unlawful and unfair business practices. Unjust enrichment. Promissory estoppel. What a shit word. Declaratory relief and accounting and conversion. Where the fuck that is. Okay, okay. Great. Great legal bullshit. So yeah, we'll keep you updated. If you guys don't want to Google anything, we will let you know the decision by the jury.
I saw a comment on Reddit about this that I thought was pretty funny, which was like, imagine you're the juror. Or you're in the jury or you're the judge sitting there and it is this person against a corporation called Evil Geniuses and you know nothing about esports and you're just like, what the fuck is this?
It's like watching Mr. Robot. It's like, yeah,
it
so on the
like
nose.
Sort of super villain. It's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, we talked about this in the past. I don't remember which episode this was when Richard Lewis kind of broke the news. I want to say it's some months back. But yeah, I don't have any news about how it's gone so far. I don't know how it's proceeding, but or what he's hoping for either. I don't think he ever. I mean, I also don't think you say that publicly, obviously. But yeah. I don't have any idea what his end game is here. But what I will say is that EG, in general as an org, since having been taken over by Peak Six from when it was Good Game Agency and Twitch and all this, and before that, Alex Garfield was leading it. EG is not looking good, man. They're like dropping rosters left, right, and center. We've talked about the Dota part. They've dropped their CS team now. They dropped their Valorant team. Or rather, they asked their Valorant team to take a heavy pay cut. I actually don't know how that ended up. And I think some of their fighting game players as well, there was stuff with. So, like, for an org with this pedigree that the name has, I feel like the representation in esports right now is really poor.
Yeah.
So the question is, okay, where's this going? Are they kind of on the verge of ending, or like, what are we talking here? Because a lot of the classic competitors that EG were up against are doing quite a bit better than they are in terms of like representing the Oregon, the big games. So we'll see.
All right, final Dota topic is Bro Dota. I'm guessing you have not played this yet.
No, I've heard of it, though.
So this is the number one custom game in Dota 2 right now. It is made by, I forget who actually, but it's Chinese. And if you're going to play this, just know that the, as always, for some reason with these Chinese mods, the translation is atrocious. Like, you don't know half the stuff that's going on. Like I had to consult my chat with a bunch of mechanics because it's not shown anywhere, but essentially it is vampire. Well, actually, technically I never played this game, so I can't say for sure, but I assume that it is very similar to Brotato, which is also a take on Vampire Survivors. So it's Vampire Survivors on a smaller scale where it's kind of round based and you're playing with potentially up to three other people, but you're all in different arenas. Like you're all doing your own thing. And then every X rounds, I think it's every 10 rounds or something like that, you play against the boss together. And then each round you're able to purchase, based on how many gems you pick up, how many things you kill, you're able to purchase skills for your hero. And the skills are based off of, well, at least the ones that are available, that are already unlocked, are based on Dota heroes. So like, you know, like I had a Troll Warlord, I had a Luna thing. Like you can have a bunch of different buffs, I think like up to... was it five or six? And you can just keep purchasing them. You can have up to five upgrades for that purchase and they just get stronger each time. But there's different tiers of those types of upgrades. So as the shop gets, I don't know how to, I think it's just round based. As the rounds progress, you'll get a better chance, I think, to get the more rare ones. And all those heroes also have a synergy, like a class synergy. So kind of like a little bit like auto chess, like knights, assassins, whatever. So you can try to mix and match as you like. So
did you have fun playing it?
I'm not going to play it again, but it was interesting. Okay. The reason I bring it up is a couple of reasons. Number one, it is very, like 10,000 people were playing it when I was on. And if it's a Chinese mod, it means it's not hitting its peak quite yet. So I don't know what the actual peak daily is, but 10,000 concurrent is a mega shit ton for Dota. There's unlockable stuff, which is monetized. So it's technically illegal, but like I brought up in the past, every mod that's not Ability Arena now is, I shouldn't say everyone, but all the big ones are monetized again because they don't think Valve will care. And I talked to some people at Valve and, you know, they're not directly involved with this stuff.
So they don't care.
They're not directly involved with this stuff, but they assume that the letters will be getting more and more aggressive to take down monetization eventually, which, you know, it's one of those things where if we did it again, then we'd get shut down immediately versus the Chinese who can do whatever the fuck they want for, you know, making their tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars potentially, and then get shut down and, you know, whatever. So play it while you can, I suppose. It's weird because a lot of the, well, I shouldn't say it's weird because I guess this is what people like. A lot of the stuff that you unlock is just anime, like big boobed anime unlocks for like everything.
Ugh.
Like you go into the shop, there's just this enormous rack in your face. Like, like I don't know, man. Have I gotten to the point in my life that I am actually... I'm just the old guy. I don't understand the draw at all. But enjoy yourselves. But like the game, like it's interesting. Like obviously it's just Vampire Survivor, so it's not like it's super unique. And ironically, Sir Action Slacks came to me like a year ago and he's like, I want to make a Vampire Survivors for Dota 2. Who do I get in touch with? So I got him in touch with some custom game creators. And they said it's going to be too difficult because you can't really fit that many units on the screen. There's like a limit in Dota. So that kind of died, like that idea just died off. And now you can see that, hey, it's been done, but there's a twist. The way they made it work is because it's round-based, right? So you have these shit ton of units coming in and the round ends after like 15, 20 seconds and then you just reset it. So it's not like Vampire Survivors where there's literally thousands technically on the map, right? So that was an interesting solution. So I can appreciate that from a game design perspective. But I mean, yeah, it's if you guys like that type of stuff, then check it out. If you like anime stuff, check it out. And if you like...
if you've never played Dota before and you're only watching the podcast for basketball, but you like big tits, check it out. It's a pretty good game.
That's right. Quote that. Cinderin 2023. so that's called Bro Dota. Enjoy. Next topic is Overwatch League. So this is interesting.
Okay.
So we've talked about this before where... My very strong opinion on the Overwatch League is that it has really set esports back quite a bit.
Right.
Because, first of all, I'm not against the idea of franchising. I think it's an interesting concept. It's been done a million times in esports, and it's failed basically every time, I want to say, or most of the time, with a few exceptions, of course. But Overwatch League kind of... I think the issue that I have is that the game is... It's not a strong esport. That's the issue. And they forced it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think the esport should be more organic. And then if you see that, okay, this is a good esport, this is a good spectating sport, then we can put money into it and then make something out of it. This one was forced down everyone's throat. Blizzard were the big dogs at the time. They got a shit ton of major, major, major sponsors. And I'm sure everybody lost money on this. I'd be surprised if that's not the case. Like, it's just an absolute
Blizzard did.
Well, not Blizzard. Yeah. Blizzard probably came out really well.
Yeah, they
But the, what I mean is the sponsors all lost money, which is why I say that this set back the industry quite a bit.
I would agree with that probably being the
case. Now they are, quote unquote, transitioning from Overwatch League. So let me give a couple quotes here. This is from... Who is this from? It's just an OWL spokesperson. We are transitioning from the Overwatch League and evolving competitive Overwatch in a new direction. We are grateful to everyone who made OWL possible and remain focused on building our vision of a revitalized esports program. We're excited to share details with you all in the near future. And hold that thought. There's one more, if I can find it.
Okay.
Second, because this is going to sound very familiar. The Overwatch League, blah, 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 had remained in limbo amid a vote on an updated franchise agreement. With the vote's resolution, a new competitive ecosystem will have to be found. It is expected that Blizzard will work with third-party tournament organizers such as ESL and WDG Esports to plan the future of the Overwatch Esports ecosystem. Does this all sound... I know it's not exactly the same, but does this sound quite familiar to you?
Yeah.
So, Blizzard involved very heavily in the esport of their game, are now transitioning it to be hands-off and give it to third party. Valve doing the exact same thing. But it's a different scenario, right? Because one is franchised and one is not. That's a huge difference.
I mean, that's one of the differences, but I also think the way in which the Blizzard and Valve were involved were very different, right? Like, Valve decided to be very involved with their world championship, and then the DPC wasn't something where Valve, at least the way I remember it, it's been some years now, the DPC wasn't something where Valve was like, we want to have more influence on the Dota circuit. It was because people were asking for it, right? That they tried it as Valve liked to experiment and try different formats and see how it works. And they didn't like how it ended up because of how it influenced the rest of the year organically for the rest of the tournament organizers. But the way DPC came about was that people were asking for a more direct path to transparency towards TI for regular leagues so that orgs could get regular gameplay and be able to sell that to sponsors and whatnot, that their team was playing in a league that would have X games every X months. And there's drawbacks. There's pros and cons to both systems. The phase we're entering now also has drawbacks that we've talked a little bit about on previous episodes, like, okay, what's the trajectory to TI? How much qualification is there going to be for teams that aren't in, you know? If a lot of it is direct invites, how do you get invited? If you're a promising team, how do you prove yourself? The DPC was very structured in that regard. That was one very clear upside to it, was that it was fully transparent how you got to TI. It was fully transparent how you made your name, a name for yourself. Now, who knows? But yeah, aside from, you know, the differences in how it was run, the pattern here is definitely that Blizzard is doing the same thing Valve is, which is letting the ecosystem run itself more. I think that's probably the better way to run an esport is the game developer is good at making games and they have, how to say, the people that they hire and the people that they work with and the way this functions. I'm not going to pretend I understand all the workings of this because I don't, but just it seems that a good healthy medium is to have people dedicated to running and building the game, people dedicated to being part of the ecosystem that the game creates. And then, like you said, if the game is a good esport, it's going to grow from there. And then you can choose to invest into it as a game developer if you want. But I think making a game with the sole premise of this is going to be an esport and we will sell it as an esport and we will make it huge as an esport, I think that comes naturally if the game plays itself as an esport, right? And if it doesn't, it's just a huge waste of time and effort and money. I mean, in Blizzard's case, they made bank because they sold it, right? But yeah. Like you said, you can't keep doing that, right? Blizzard can't just release a new game and be like, oh, by the way, you investors who paid 8 digits to play in our league, this is the good one, you know? You only have that much goodwill.
If you're going to make a game for the sole purpose of it being a giant esport, you better be fucking sure that it's fun to spectate. Because I know that people that are into Overwatch enjoy watching, and that's just natural. This is a terrible fucking game to watch. It is so confusing. And people can say that about Dota, and that's fine. It's understandable. That's why we're not franchised, right? I mean, League was, and I guess that was successful. But regardless, like Overwatch, it's just like they did so much over the course of how many years to try to fix the issues. Like they made everything red versus blue or whatever it was, right? Like to make it more obvious. It's just still, I mean, it's not even the problem of it being confusing. It's a 6v6 FPS where you're constantly respawning. That's not fun to watch. That's not fun, I think, generally. So I just think their formula was just fucked from the start. They kind of shot themselves in the foot, which, as we know, is Blizzard's MO of the last 15 years anyway. Yeah.
So, however,
and this is less than a year after Overwatch 2 came out, right? That they're closing the doors on this shit. So
it's a really big shame that this failed in a way. Not because I'm particularly invested in the game myself. Like, I've never played it and I've watched a very little bit and I didn't really feel like watching much more after that. Like you said, it's a big shame because of what happens to the industry here. Because with that being a failure, a lot of the non-endemic sponsors that were getting into esports and were dropping a lot of money on it, which could have been, you know, cost some significant growth. With this failure, they're going to be hesitant to invest into other games that might turn out to be profitable or promising or at least show growth.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I think it's very understandable. You're somebody from the outside. You're a venture capitalist. You have a lot of money. You're like, oh, yeah, this new thing. For them, it's just the new big thing, right? Because they're not part of the ecosystems and the games at all. They just have money. They want to make money with their money. They're like, oh, yeah, this hot new thing, esports. Yeah, okay. And then you're in a meeting with Blizzard, and they're like, yeah, this is the league we're making. And they're like, oh, shit, it's pretty cool. I understand this because it's kind of like football, you know? I could see this working. And then it's just a massive flop. And then they're like, okay, you kind of feel like you got God, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be taken advantage of.
The problem is it doesn't just hurt Overwatch. It hurts every esport. Yes. Just video games in general, really.
Because those big venture capitalists, when are they getting into CSGO now? Or CS2? Or when are they getting into Dota? Or whatever the next big game is? Are they even going to give it a second chance? Yeah, sucks. It's kind of reminiscent of, you talked about this, the thing that ran on American TV, right? That, what was it called?
CGS?
Yes. Which also set things back quite a bit, in your opinion, right?
Yeah, I think so. That was 2003 or something like that. I mean, esports will recover because I think the issue is people really want to get in on the ground floor of something, right? And that's when there's a big risk. Whereas you could just wait a year and just see, oh, this game, okay, this actually is a good game to invest in. I mean, that's what they should be doing, but I don't know. Sucks for everybody, I think. All right, you have another topic. I moved it up here because it's game related.
Yeah, as much as we've shit on Blizzard, Blizzard is actually getting some pretty good press right now for the first time in I don't know how long.
Really?
BlizzCon has been on this last weekend, and they got a lot of praise from the community for the first time in a decade. People are saying, let's go Blizzard. So I think it's, I'm exaggerating. This isn't the first time they get good press, but a lot of the fans of World of Warcraft in particular, which is, you know, still in many ways Blizzard's flagship game of the last two decades at this point. The game came out in, when was it, 2000 and, was it 2008? Hang on, I actually want to look this up. 2004, sorry. It's almost 20 years.
Wow.
That's it insane. Might actually be 20 years in the US at this point. Not sure. Anyway.
2003 was Warcraft 3, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so it can't have been. It must have been 2004. Yeah. So this game is approaching 20 years. They announced something called Season of Discovery, which is a new take on World of Warcraft Classic. So what Blizzard have realized, which we have been talking about on previous episodes, is that they used to make better games than they do now.
Uh-huh.
So... how about we take our old game and then work from there? And essentially what they're doing is they take some of the core elements of classic World of Warcraft, which is still really, really popular. Keep in mind, the thing that's fascinating about this is to draw a bit of a parallel to another game that I used to play the old version of. I never played the new one. This is a different scale, but RuneScape had a resurgence by having... by essentially making a classic version of RuneScape, because people were playing a different version of the game on like private servers or whatever that was more old school, and that eclipsed the modern version of the game. So they kind of embraced that and started working on that. And World of Warcraft is, with WoW Classic, became, I think, way more successful than Blizzard would have ever imagined. I think they thought of it as like a small side project that maybe people are going to find fun for a while. Classic WoW got so popular that they ran the level 60 version. People asked for the expansion. They got it. They asked for the expansion again. They got it again. And now they're also getting Cataclysm, which is the fourth expansion this year, or the third expansion in the series, is coming out as well next year. Because Classic's community is that big. And now, because of how big it actually is, they're choosing to make what people have been asking for quite a while now in Classic WoW's community, which was Classic Plus, which was meant to be, or that people were asking for, okay, we love the level 60 version of the game, the original version. We want content for this game. And what people were imagining was level 60, which is max level content, like new raids or things that were actually planned for vanilla WoW that were never implemented. They were hoping that Blizzard would get around to making those, like other raids, other features or whatever. What they're doing is they're making something called Season of Discovery, where they're doing a new take on specific classes where they can do different things. You start with a level cap of 25 instead of 60. So they're going to do like seasonal level ups where the cap is 25. There's going to be a raid at level 25 that's different, a different experience from what you've played so far on different classes. And then that runs for a while. Then they raise the level cap and implement new content. Then they raise the level cap again and implement new content. And then you reach max level and then there's new content. So they're taking it like step by step. And one of the big things for me about this that is something I really miss from gaming in general, to be honest, is that they're not doing a public test realm, if you know what that is.
Oh, public what? Sorry?
Public test realm.
Okay.
It's called PTR in WoW. Essentially, they are not making an open beta for the game. And what that means is when stuff drops, it's new to everybody. Right. So you don't come in with like, oh, this is all the bosses. This is the strategy. This is the meta. This is how you're supposed to play. Because right now when stuff comes out in Wrath of the Lich King Classic, everybody knows the bosses. Everybody knows the fights. There's guides. There's strategies. There's min-maxing the fuck out of everything. Everybody knows what to do. You know what's the best. This is going to be a drop where it's kind of like a patch comes out in Dota and people are like, okay, let's play Dota for 3 months to figure out what the fuck is going on and find what's best. That's why it's called Season of Discovery, is that finally this MMO that is two decades old at this point is putting in stuff that people don't know what the best thing to do is.
That's cool.
That is really exciting because I think that's a huge part of what makes gaming fun is exploration. And WoW hasn't had exploration in...
so
a long time for raids, because it's all known, right?
Yeah, I assume in the past, like, they have to do these open betas because there's so much there that has to be tested that they can't just use like an internal team, right? I assume that's why they've done that in the past.
Sorry? One more time?
Like in the past, they've used those test realms or whatever you call them, beta realms, mm-hmm. whatever, because there's just so much shit that has to be tested that their internal team wouldn't. So is it because they're able to do that now? Because a lot of it's obviously old stuff, but now they're like slight twists on it, right? There's a couple new things.
Right. I don't know the scope, right? Because I don't think anyone truly really knows the full scope of it. But they at BlizzCon, they showed some of the people at BlizzCon there got to test the raid in its current version, but that's probably not going to be the final release. And it was like a very small subset of people and it wasn't like public, right? So I guess there they got a bit of testing done, I suppose. Mm. But yeah, the vibe that I'm getting is that if you think about Dota, there's like there's a beta tester crew, right? It's not like Valve makes the game and then they just throw it out there and nobody's tested it except them. But it's like a small dedicated group that doesn't share everything everywhere and right. figure everything out themselves. So yeah, they got positive feedback on that. So that's one thing. Then in other games, I think the main other game that I saw, I didn't watch all of BlizzCon. They were making some, I think, pretty good changes to Diablo 4. I talked about that in the past, that was a game I was looking forward to trying from Blizzard. I was like, okay, have you learned from your mistakes? They had to an extent, but not fully. I'll admit, it was a game that was really fun to play for like 50 hours, and then I just dropped it because the game wasn't, it felt like the end game wasn't very well thought out, and the way you built your character toward the end was kind of unsatisfying. But they announced a lot of good stuff there as well. And honestly, for me, the encouraging thing to see was that it feels like they're taking to heart a lot of the massive complaints that they've been getting, and they're actually trying to do stuff that the community wants instead of being completely tone deaf. Then we'll see if it's good. I mean, maybe this season of Discovery sounds really cool and it's going to be bad. Maybe the Diablo 4 changes that they announced that people have been asking for are going to be implemented poorly. And either way, I think it's not been, I don't think it's good for business to drop a game like Diablo 4, have the vast majority of your player base quit, and then fix all the issues, because you're not getting 100% of the players back. Mm. So it's probably better to drop a really good game to begin with so people stick around. But it's kind of similar to what happened with Diablo 3 to an extent, where the game came out, people had some complaints about systems, and then from what I've heard, again, I didn't really pick up the game much myself after that, so I'm the perfect example of this, but some of my friends were saying later stages of Diablo 3 was actually so much better than launch. But you know,
that's
just
how games are these days
in the curve, right? People have an attention span. They move on to other stuff, and that's what I did, right? I played Diablo 3. It was fun for a while. Didn't really come back. D4's been the same for me. But yeah, BlizzCon overall this year sounded like it got quite positive response. They did not announce Diablo Immortal 2. Good call there.
But more people have mobile phones.
But yeah, I thought that was worth mentioning. Obviously, I'm biased toward WoW because for me, it's one of the best games of all time, especially the level 60 version. So I am in the group of people that's very excited to see them try to do something with that game. And I'm hopeful because what they announced actually sounds really cool and creative. Now they just need to deliver. Which, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say that classic WoW has been delivering, so to say, because, I mean, it's just the good old game, right? They didn't really have to make a lot of new stuff. But now they actually have to get a little bit creative and make some new content for that game. But the overall like archetype of game it is very good. Cool. Okay.
Good stuff. All right. Next two topics are relatively short. This one's been on the list for a bit, but actually came out now, so we can actually talk about it. The Beatles have released a final song, Cinderin. This is actually so cool. The song is called Now and Then. I listened to it. It's not like it doesn't blow my mind, but it's cool to hear this type of style again. As you guys know, I'm a huge oldies fan anyway. Like, if somebody tells me they don't like the Beatles, I literally have a negative opinion of you already. I think the Beatles are arguably one of the most influential groups in the history of mankind. I fucking love them. So what happened was Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, who are, of course, the only two remaining members of the group, had an old tape of this song that they were working on with John Lennon from way back when, and, of course, George Harrison. And I think George Harrison came, like, in the 90s, maybe, and he worked on this a little bit as well. So they basically took John Lennon's voice and used AI to finish the song with, you know, of course, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr finishing up the rest of it or whatever. And it, so this is, of course, we can get into like the weird quandaries when it comes to AI and its uses and is it art and all that stuff. I think this is a very cool use of it to take something that somebody has made and just finish it because they can't do it anymore, right? I think it's very cool. I don't know if you've listened to this. I guess probably not.
I don't know if I've heard the song. I mean, maybe I've heard it randomly without knowing it was that one. That sounds unlikely, so probably not.
Okay, just checking.
But from what I understand, it's really high up on the charts in the UK in particular, right? Which makes sense because, you know, it's the Beatles. There's a lot of people that obviously... If this... I think I read this the other day that if this were to get number one on the charts, it would be... By far, the biggest distance between two number ones from the same band, right? I mean, no shit.
Yeah.
I think the previous record, from what I read, was Cher.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was kind of interesting. Huh. Yeah, the distance between her last two top of the chart songs was really... It was many, many years, but this would absolutely destroy it, obviously. And yeah, I mean, it's always going to have that asterisk, though, isn't it? Like, it's with AI, it's with the voice of somebody who is no longer alive, interpreted by technology. But, I mean, to me, this is one of the more wholesome... We've talked quite a bit about AI on this podcast. To me, this is one of the more wholesome and positive things that it can do. I think this is cool. And I'm... Honestly, I'm kind of surprised that... Not that I know the Beatles very well personally or anything, but that these, like, a very, very, at this point, very old band embraces this modern technology and does this, because you could always have the discussion internally as well about, okay, is this what, you know, is this what the dead members would have wanted? How does this impact us and our legacy? Do we even agree with what this technology can do maliciously? So do we want to touch it at all? So I'm honestly a little bit surprised they went for this, but I mean, I think it's cool. I'm still very apprehensive about AI's potential in general. I think it's limitless, which is always both good and bad, but this is, I'm not hating this. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I recommend that. It's called Now and Then by the Beatles. Final song. Very cool. Cool stuff. Final topic, also AI related, because I'm really into AI lately.
Very related.
ChatGPT, my boy. So ChatGPT or OpenAI had a conference of some kind, and I watched it, and I've forgotten most of it because I have a memory of a goldfish. But they had a bunch of announcements. That's right. They had a bunch of announcements, and I wanted to just highlight a couple of them because they're just interesting. Number one, they're making ChatGPT. This is gonna sound like an ad, actually. They're making it faster, so. GPT-4, which is the one that I pay for, it's going to be called GPT-4 Turbo. It lets you have longer conversations, more capacity, and all that bullshit, and it's faster. They're going to be implementing something very soon, which this is the thing about the ChatGPT stuff that's a bit annoying for me, but I can understand from their perspective. It's like they're doing rollouts. So a lot of times they'll say, this is available now, and I don't have it for like another month. Like you just have to keep checking every day. Which is the case for this, but you can make custom GPTs. So let's say an individual or a company wants to make a ChatGPT that's catered around their whatever interest they have or whatever business they have, they can do that now, which is really fucking cool. And I'll get into reasons why that is, because in addition to that, they're going to have a GPT store in the next month, apparently, where people can come out with their own. I mean, they've had these kind of plugin related things before, but this is going to be more official in the store. And people, I assume, will purchase them, and a percentage of that will go to the people that created the app or whatever. I don't know what you're going to ask, the GPT, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The reason I find this very important, because the one thing that I've been annoyed with, well, not, okay, annoyed is not the word. I'm just annoyed in general. That's makes sense technically, but the thing that I've been waiting for that will change my life is being able to hook this up with Google Calendar. So just talk into my ChatGPT and say, you know, do this for me, do this. Like, that would change a lot for me. And that's like the first big step into just, like, I've replaced Google with ChatGPT, just to give you an example. I don't even use Google anymore because GPT.
Really?
ChatGPT is just superior in every fucking way.
So you don't search for stuff on Google either?
No, not anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I mean, well, I could be wrong. Maybe if I'm, yeah, I guess there's, if I just need to click on a link or something, sure, I'll use Google. But generally, if I'm searching for anything other than that, it'll be ChatGPT. So they're going to be adding a bunch of features that allow people, they didn't really specifically mention Google Calendar, but I assume they will be able to hook up with Google Calendar, which I think is going to be a big deal. And I think we talked about this before, that they were going to be adding, and I finally got access to this the other day, on the app, I can talk to my ChatGPT now. And you can pick the voice, and it talks back to you. And oh,
did you choose big titty anime?
I did choose a woman. I choose a really sensual sounding woman. She sounds very nice.
You found the ASMR very surprising.
Very sensual indeed.
Who would have thought that was the.
But the crazy thing is, like, aside from a couple of bugs that you hear every now and then, like with like it sounding mechanical, it literally sounds like a human being. Like, they pause, they say sometimes, like. The cadence is correct somehow, which begs the question, why when I use like Google Maps?
Why would I talk to actual people anymore?
That's true. That's the next topic of conversation. But like when you use like, when you're navigating with Google Maps or something, it's like turn left. Like it's somewhat robotic. This is just completely natural. It blows my mind. I'm just like having a conversation back and forth. It has been really good. And I do want to mention one thing, because I talked about our video game that we're making, and I mentioned that we're using ChatGPT, or I am, a lot for the game design stuff, and some people misinterpreted that for meaning that we're using it for art, which we're not. The capacity that I use for art is I think of something that I want, the artist that we employ to make, and I just, since I am a terrible artist, I just have ChatGPT or DALL-E 3 or whatever do it as close as I can. Or as close as it can get to what I want. And I send that to the artist as like inspiration, essentially. Like, take like these couple of aspects from this, you know, whatever. Just gives a better vision. But I can't really talk about what I use the ChatGPT for yet until we announce the game, because it'll make a lot more sense why I'm using it or why we're using it. But yeah, a lot of updates coming to that. And it's kind of cool because this is like, it's such a big thing that's happening. Maybe some people don't realize in the last year, this came out a year ago now, this is such a, like, we're going to look back and say, this is like the next, this was the next big thing, you know, that came out, because so many companies are trying to compete now. OpenAI is feeling the pressure, and which is why they're coming out with these constant updates and these constant features. And the fact that it's like happening so fast just blows my mind. Of course, a lot of people will fail with trying to get into this AI stuff. But it's extremely cool. I am enjoying myself.
What do you think if ChatGPT used AI to make an esports and franchise a league? Do you think venture capitalists would be all over that?
Absolutely. AI should be able to solve every human problem that we have. Why not, Cinderella?
I got to think about one thing when you talked about this with the voice thing. Do you actually think it's desirable that it sounds human?
Desirable?
Yeah. So you say you're talking to your ChatGPT and it talks back to you and it's got like human cadence and it says and stuff. Do you think, is that a good thing? Because I'm like trying to think to myself, if I am talking to ChatGPT and it responds back, that if it's, if it reaches a point where it's not discernible from a human voice, then in any sort of recording that you do of whatever, you can't tell that it was AI talking rather than a person in a clip. I mean, I'm back to this ethical stuff that I'm thinking about a lot with this, right? Like, do you think it's a good thing? Like, it's obviously a proof of concept of what the technology can do.
Are you asking from like a societal standpoint or asking from like an individual user, do they want that?
Both.
Individual user, for sure. Societal, okay. I mean, we've already talked about this issue, right? The whole deep faking and stuff like that, it can have very negative kind of, I mean, the good side is that you come up with a fucking new Beatles song, right?
Right.
So there's pros and cons.
I'll try to turn around. I'm struggling to see the positive here in this sounding like an AI or like a human, actually. I don't see what the upside is that this sounds like a person
a
rather than an AI.
Like client side?
Yeah, I mean, let's say I was using ChatGPT like you are, and I'm asking it stuff, and it's telling me stuff back, and it sounds perfectly human versus like any sort of Google Assistant or whatever you use on your phone that you can tell it's not a person talking, right? It's like, I personally don't feel like when Google Assistant tells me something, I'm not like, damn, I wish that really sounded like my mom, you know? I mean, like, it doesn't... I don't...
Does this sound like your mom or something? I didn't realize that. Is that why you're so passionate about this?
No, it was a joke. I'm just saying.
That's like, why it asked me if I wanted Cinderin's mom as a choice for one of the voices. God damn. Makes sense now.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, but I don't. Okay. Maybe I'm really bad at explaining this. Like, I don't see the benefit. Like, what is the appeal of this sounding like you're talking to a person? Because you're clearly, you know yourself that you're talking to an AI and you're giving AI prompts and the AI is telling you something back. So you know that it's AI. So why does it need to sound like a person when you know that it's AI?
Okay, what about that? What about the reverse? Why does it need to sound robotic?
So that it's discernible from a human being.
Why does that matter if from a client perspective, from one user?
You talking to your phone individually, privately, whatever, it doesn't make a difference, right? Okay. But... like
so
this
you're
is the
back
scope
to
thing, right?
You're talking about from a global scale still.
Right. So I'm saying, is the upside of it sounding perfectly human worth the risks? You know what I mean?
What's the risk for this, though? If it doesn't sound like anybody real, necessarily. I mean, by chance it will, of course. If this was President Obama's voice, then yes, I understand your concerns. Mm-hmm. But because it's just some random...
You could just make that.
Yeah. But it's not part of the official app. Right, that's what you're. That's where the line is being drawn here for you.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It's like let's imagine you. This is going to be such an edge case, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. Actually,
I'm guessing you've never seen the movie called Her, which I would highly recommend for. That's what it's called, right? I need to look this.
There is a movie called Her. I know
with Joaquin Phoenix. It's about AI. Extreme, like. I wouldn't say this is like one of my favorite movies ever. It was very good, and I highly recommend you watch this just because it shows like kind of both sides of the... Because this is actually what's happening right now on a... Mm-hmm. It's like the very beginning of kind of what that movie is representing, which is really cool that I'm living through this right now, and we're having these conversations. It doesn't bother me at all, but I'm obviously embracing this more than maybe the average person. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was just interesting.
Is it because you're a robot that you're offended that a robot's sounding more human than you, Cinderin?
ChatGPT is taking my job, man. No, I'm just trying to think of like, I'm trying to think of whenever they implement this new technology that is really cool and very human-like. That I'm always erring on the side of caution with stuff like this. Where okay, if this sounds perfectly human, well, when people record it and it gets shown in whatever, and there's no like clear way of telling whether this was quote unquote real or not, that just becomes a, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, at the end of the day, this is no different than what's it called, the, do you remember the clip I played for you or I sent you, we did some episodes ago, where Susie had your voice clipped from the podcast and then had it read out something, and you were like rating how much it sounded like you, and it didn't fully sound like you, but you know, with time and with a bigger sample, right?
Yeah,
and that's a similar thing where it's like, okay, somebody could just pretend they're saying stuff in your voice, and there's no way for a layman to tell whether it's you or not.
Yeah.
So it's the same ballpark, right? And like, who knows?
I love talking to my phone. It's a lot more fun now with a sensual voice. Love it. I just wish she'd name herself. You know, that's the only problem. It's like, won't pick a name. It's just ChatGPT. It doesn't. Need to pick that, something.
Honestly, that might stay that way for the reason I just said, right? Like, that's maybe one of the things.
I'm not, okay, I was going to talk about how this could progress society, mm-hmm. like through society with this actually evolving, but you need to watch the movie Her. So I will not spoil it for anybody out there. Very cool. Enjoy it. All right, that'll do it for this episode of We Say Things. We had absolutely no topics, and we made it to hour and 20 minutes. Congratulations to us.
What do you mean? We had topics.
We had no topics of
value. All right,
value.
No topics.
Goodbye, everybody. Until next week. Peace out.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
But thanks for listening. Yeah.